بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, I cannot possibly emphasize or overemphasize the importance of halal earning and halal spending in a hadith that is reported by Sayyidina Abu Tufail radiallahu anhu in collected in Al-Majmu' Al-Kabir. Rasulullah is reported to have said, whoever earns haram wealth then sets a slave free from that wealth or joins family ties with that wealth, he will be sinful for those deeds. I repeat, Sayyidina Abu Tufail radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah said, whoever earns haram wealth then sets a slave free using that wealth or joins family ties using that wealth, that person will be sinful for those deeds. Then in another hadith narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, which is in Sahih Ibn Hibban, Rasulullah is reported to have said, whosoever acquires haram, unlawful wealth and then gives charity from it, he will not be rewarded and will be sinful. Now I remind myself and you, let me repeat that also. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, in a hadith which is in Sahih Ibn Hibban, narrates that Rasulullah said, whosoever acquires haram wealth and then gives charity from it, he will not be rewarded and he will be sinful. I remind myself and you that in Islam, the means and the ends both have to satisfy the requirements of deen, which is that both must be halal. We need to earn from halal sources and spend in halal things. If our earning is halal, but we take that money, which is halal money, and then we spend it in haram pursuits, which is whatever Islam has prohibited, then that becomes sinful for us. Just because we earned it halal does not save us from the punishment of spending in haram. Vice versa, and this is sometimes lost sight of and seems to be difficult to understand, whoever earns haram wealth and then uses it, even if the person uses it for something good, he is donating this wealth to masajid, he is donating this wealth to various good causes. But because the wealth is earned haram, this wealth will not benefit that person. That action will not benefit that person. That action will be counted as a sinful action. I remind myself and you that may Allah protect us from ourselves. We seem to take this issue of haram and halal very easily, and we seem to ignore it, especially where it comes to earning haram, which is the use of interest-based earnings, banking, borrowing on interest from banks and things like that. My brothers and sisters, I know many of you must be tired of having me say this again and again, but what can I do? Allah is the one who made the rules, not me. There's no way that I can overemphasize the importance of earning halal. And there's no way that I can underemphasize the calamity of earning from bank borrowings or using bank borrowings for business and so on and so forth. Very, very, it's a horrible thing. It is something which is so bad, because this is the only thing on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war. Allah declared war on the one who uses interest in any form, either borrowing or lending, either way, and irrespective of the amount, the rate of interest or the amount borrowed, whether it is 1 rupee or whether it is $1 million or whether it is more, it's less, it doesn't matter. It is equally bad. And this is something that we need to remind ourselves again and again, because shaitan is always, trying to fool us. And one of the ways in which shaitan fools us is by telling us that, doesn't matter if you borrow, you just spend some money on something good, right? You know, build a masjid, give a donation to a madrasa, and so on and so forth. You know, as a friend of mine, he was a Hindu guy, he once told me something which illustrates the difference between Islam and everything else. He said to me, he said, you know what, our Hindu religion is the best. So I said, okay, so why is it the best? He said, because it doesn't matter anything you do, just go and give some money to a temple and you are good. Just go and put some money in the hundi, in the donation box, in the temple, and you are fine. Right? Go and give some money to the guru and you are fine. Now believe me, that is not Islam. And the reason I'm saying it is because you can't buy Allah. You cannot buy Allah's pleasure. We cannot buy our way out of the hellfire. Right? We have to do the right things. We can't do the wrong thing and then say, okay, now after this I will spend some money in something which is good and it will cancel out each other. For example, if I am doing an ostentatious wedding, you know, I have a wedding of my son, daughter, whatever, and I have this colossal expenditure on this wedding, and then what my Guyanese friends call eye wash, what I do is I also get hold of, you know, 4 or 5 or 6 or whatever number of poor boys and girls, and I also conduct their wedding along with the nikah of my son or daughter. Now obviously their wedding is just being conducted. It's not, if I'm giving my son or daughter, you know, the kind of lavishness on their wedding, the same lavishness is not being spent on those people. I mean, those people are just they're there to salve my conscience. So I said, no, but you know, along with this, I also did. The point is that your action itself was wrong. This lavish wedding was wrong. And just because you include another 10 people in it, does not make it right. It does not make it right. If you want to do that, then do your wedding of your child simply and do the wedding of those people also in the same simple manner. Alhamdulillah, this is beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you. Similarly, borrowing money on interest or getting money in different ways, you know, some people, they just grab land, they grab money, they grab things. Some people deny rights to their own siblings, especially women. So many cases we have of men denying the share in the in inheritance to their sisters. And the excuse they give is, my father spent on your wedding. My father gave you a dowry, or my father spent on your wedding, so now you have no share. So which is a double whammy, because first of all, the father spending on the wedding ostentatiously itself was wrong. Giving dowry was wrong because dowry is haram in Islam. And now you want to deny her share also. And you swallow that money, and then you want to solve your conscience by saying, oh no, but you know, I will give some donation. Please understand, Allah is not for sale. Na'udhu Billah. Right? Allah is not something, that the pleasure of Allah is not for sale. We can't just go buy. Just because Allah has given you some money, let us not imagine or act as if Allah has given us some license to do whatever we want, as long as we are paying for it. There's no payment for sin. In Islam, we cannot buy the pleasure of Allah or the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to do the right thing. And the fact that the right thing is painful, if that is so, it is something to think about and say that, why is it painful? Why is the right thing painful? Because it means that something is wrong with my iman, that something which is right is painful for me to do. My brothers and sisters, I seriously request you to think about this and to change our lives, to clean up our act, and to ensure that we earn halal and we spend halal. Because a time will come, a day will come, when we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a day when there will be لا بَيْءٌ فِيهَا فِيهِ وَلَا خُلَّةٌ وَلَا شَفَى. There will be no friendship, no bargaining, no sale and buying, and no intercession إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. So let us make sure that we are correct for that day. جزاكم الله خيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.